Let's start off with singing a little chorus. He's changing me, my precious Jesus.
He's changing me, my precious Jesus. Thank you.
am I so unworthy of the blood? Or I know not why the sovereign king would leave his throne on high.
I know not why the sovereign king would leave his throne on high, to dwell here in this barren land with mortals such as I. He left his home in paradise, so I'll never know. But his precious blood has made me pure and a virgin soul.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come and gather around your name, Lord, where we may exalt it and give thanks on it and glorify in it. And Lord, what a wonderful truth, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we're so glad, Lord, that there's power and deliverance in that name, there's forgiveness of sins in that name, and there's access to God in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to pray this morning for a visitation from you, Lord, for, Lord, of our own selves, Lord, we can do nothing, Lord, if we could put our hand to the work and make it prosper, we would do it. But Lord, we are totally dependent upon you, and we invite the Holy Ghost to come and a fellowship with us in such a manner, Lord, where we will know and that we could testify with the saints of old, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the way. Pray, Lord God, that you'll give us, Lord, inspiration to worship you and to praise you and also to give you thanks. And I pray, Lord, also for inspiration for the preachers he comes and opened your word this morning, Lord, that you'll bless him, Lord, and anoint him with a hot coal from off the altar. Touch the lips of clay, I pray. Pray, Lord God, that you'll quicken the word even as he speaks, Lord. And pray, Lord, you'll quicken it to our hearts. And Lord, give us revelation of the word in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And I pray, Lord God, that it'll do us good. And I pray, Lord, anyone listening in, hear the recording at a later date, Lord, that they'll be blessed and inspired and that you'll reveal your word. That when the voice of the preacher will be silent, that the Holy Ghost will continue to speak and minister on in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll bless each head that's bowed in here. Meet every need, Lord, according to their bodies, Lord, and according to the needs that they have, Lord, for financial needs, Lord, and needs at home, Lord, needs of their actions, needs of work, needs of jobs. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, meet every need. And Lord, for all those that participate in outreach and evangelism, I pray, Lord God, you'll give them strength in the name of Jesus Christ and also give them fruit for their labours in the name of Jesus Christ. And help us all every day to remember those that would go out and witness for you in our prayers, Lord, to bring them before you, Lord. And help us all to be a witness for you, Lord, even if we're not out, but Lord, we're in the workplace, we're in a school place, we're in a social place, wherever we would be, help us to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, ministering for you in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lord, if there's any sick belonging to us, Lord, we rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's any, Lord, needing a touch from you, lift it up in their mind, Lord, even a touch in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, in their body, whatever it would be, we pray, Lord God, you'll minister to them according to their needs. And Lord, the most greatest need of all is salvation. And we pray, Lord, for those that's near and dear to us that's not yet saved, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will indeed save their soul. For Lord, you said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Indeed, what would it be benefited a man if he lived his whole life in health to go to hell? Lord Jesus Christ, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll have mercy upon those that's near and dear to us, that's not yet saved, those that have heard the truth and have turned their way again. Lord, be long-suffering and merciful and reach out once again and call them once again and break up the fallow ground. Lord, convict the heart of sin that they would call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ and be saved and be delivered from all their distresses in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you'll open their eyes to the peril they're in. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. And Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus now, Lord, that you'll be pleased to have fellowship amongst us. And if anything's not said or undone, we just pray you'll undertake for it. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honour and the praise, for it belongs to thee. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. let us sing that little song we've just been practicing there before we started. You're my strength when I am weak. Jesus, Lamb of God. You're my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek.
You are my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Taking you as the precious you, or to give up my day of blue, you are my all in all.
stand our feet and ask Brother Yule if he lifted you off in this morning. The thing love lifted me, I was sinking, deep in sin, sinking to rise no more.
Love me.
sing verse 3 again. You know, sometimes when I'm singing those hymns, I think to myself, them songwriters could have been preachers. Because it says, souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. And that's wonderful, you know, he doesn't do a half job. Jesus never half saved anybody. When he saved them right and well, praise God, and he's saved them completely. Completely out of hell, completely into heaven. He didn't leave them no half road, he didn't leave them like the man laying on the wayside. He didn't think this boy's not worth the bother, or I can't bring this boy no further. No, he brought them all the way. I think that's wonderful, praise God. Sing this name just one more before the pastor comes.
So in Jesus completely saved. He will live by his love out of the angry way. He's the master of.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
My old sin will obey. He's your Savior.
Comes one, I know he likes. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I give my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Since I started for the kingdom, my life he controls. Longer.
sweeter. One more time.
The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart.
Let's sing the chorus, brothers and sisters, first.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. More that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter.
One more time.
The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Let's close our eyes this morning. Praise the Lord. If you have a need, lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. Praise God. Praise God. So many needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for the words we've been singing. Lord, you loved us, not because we loved you, but you loved us when we were unlovable to so many. You loved us and you gave yourself for us. I love you and give myself for you. Lord, what wonderful words for men and women condemned by sin. But we thank you 2,000 years ago, Lord, that you stepped in and took our place. And in our room and in our stead went the whole way to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And God have raised again this same Jesus from the dead. On the third day, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. How we worship you this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, accept of our praise, accept of our worship. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts because you first loved us. Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit into this room. We plead the merits and the life of the blood of Jesus Christ over every life afresh, every home afresh, every circumstance, every situation. We welcome and we invite the moving and the power of the Holy Ghost to take over and control. Lord Jesus, you see every hand that's raised, you know every need. Father, you said if we ask anything in your name, we can have it. Hallelujah. We're asking in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, that you will meet every need. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bless everyone in this house, those that's on holidays. Bless them, those traveling. Bless them, the nurses, the doctors. Every brother, every sister, bless those in authority. Bless. For Israel, we pray again. Bless Israel. And camp them round about by the angels of the Lord. And Father, encamp us this morning in this house by the angels of the Lord. Cover us with your blood. Sanctify us. Forgive us every wrong word, every wrong statement we have made. Wash us, sanctify us, and clean us with the precious blood and the washing of the water of the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, I ask you to bless the service this morning. Pray for Brother Gary as well as he goes this evening to Alva Street. Oh God, will you use him? Will you visit her? Will you have your way and save some soul, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim every soul. We ask for healing. We ask you'll confirm your word with signs, with wonders, and with miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, have your way, we pray, and meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands with everybody beside you and say, God bless you. Praise God. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. You've shook hands and everything. You can be seated. Just a couple of announcements. Sharon's left a wee children's book on the back table. If any of the children play up and you have to take them out, any of the mothers or fathers, into the hallway, there's a wee book there if you want to use it. And do feel free to go out with any of the children if you have to. And there's no service tonight. A lot of people's away. And there's no service tonight. We have to clear the hall after the service this morning. But we will be back next Sunday. I won't be, but everybody else, hopefully, apart from those on holidays. Brother John will be preaching in the morning, Brother Mark in the evening. So Sunday meetings will continue next week, and the week after that I'll be back. But there's no Thursday night this week or next week. So pray for all the services. Our Brother Gary's preaching tonight in Ava Street, Belfast. If anyone's free, go along and support our Brother Gary tonight, because we won't have a service here tonight. So go along, support our Brother Gary down in Ava Street. It's a great new Pentecostal church. It's been going quite a number of years. The wee pastors, the man's done, there's no other way I can tell you. He's a good wee man. He's been a great man. And he's been used to the Lord. But the man's, he's got to that age in life. Pray for Billy and his wife. He's not well either. And he's going to need another pastor down there. And some of the men he's picked should never have been picked, probably. And some of them not even there no more. But anyhow, that's not important. But pray for the right man for them. And pray for Brother Gary the night as he goes. And I'll be preaching in England. Haven't preached in England in years. But I'll be preaching in England next Sunday evening. And pray for us, praise God. I was just thinking this morning, you know, pulpit you used to preach in. There's people come in and they don't know them a week and they have them in the pulpit. And some of them, they don't want me no more. Because I preach about Jesus. Now, I never thought, I'm coming 58 years of age. I'm preaching over 30 years. I never ever thought I would see the day when so-called revelated, revelatoried people that have more revelation than everyone else put together don't want to hear Jesus Christ preached. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to continue preaching them. And if they don't invite me, it'll not make no difference. I'm not worried about inviting anyhow. Do you know why? When I started, God gave me a scripture from Revelations. And that scripture says, I have set before thee an open door. No man can close it. So never worry if a movement puts you out or puts you in or whatever. Because if Christ, if you've got him, that's the most important thing. That's all that matters. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning. I darn't say it, but this is part 14. Somebody was telling me Brother Brian's preached part 30 or something on Job. We're over it. I'm only putting that for my own self. You don't need to worry about any of that parts or anything. We're preaching this morning on water baptism. And I want to share some things maybe in a way different. But I'm just going on with the book of Acts. I could have went someone else and I prayed about it, waited on the Lord, but I felt to bring this. So I'm going to continue on with this, praise God. And let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And Matthew 28, everybody says is the right way, and Acts 2:38 is the wrong way. So they're telling us that our Bibles have a mistake. But I want you to know that Acts 2:38 is the interpretation of Matthew 28. And there's no mistake. There's no mistakes in your Bible. But there is a mistake in the man that says there's a mistake. He's got the wrong theology somewhere along the line. God does not use theologians. God uses prophets, and God gives revelation, stimulation. Amen. Let's read this, Matthew 28. Can remain seated this morning. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. And look, don't be afraid of Matthew 28 either. Let me tell you that. It's true. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. Now we know that water baptism by immersion was not optional. In the early church, water baptism by immersion was not optional, it was a commandment. So some people say, I'm saved, I don't ever need to get baptized. Well, that's not right. Now, I don't believe water baptism saves you. Some people do preach that, but we do not believe that. But it is part of our Christian belief, and it is a commandment that once we believe on the Lord, we are to be baptized. And there is truth in it. There's a prescription in it in Acts 2:38 to receive the Holy Ghost when you do it properly. A commandment of the Lord Jesus, and it's also a commandment of the apostles. Acts 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me. And then he goes on to preach to them. So I'm reading you that because I want you to know that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter is preaching under the inspiration of God. So for somebody that comes out of a college to tell me that Peter made a mistake, and they're right, that has no scriptural foundation. But Peter preached the truth. Peter's words are true. We cannot begin to pull the Bible apart and pick out what suits theology and what doesn't suit. You know, the apostolic message is the original message. We believe we're to come back to it. We cannot come back to it if we deny what Peter preached. That would not be coming back to it. That would be going away from it. In Acts 10, verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So he commanded them to be baptized. The Lord Jesus commanded. The apostles commanded. So water baptism is commanded in the Bible to be done. Now I know a lot of people say the faith in the cross wasn't baptized. No, how would he have been? That's absolutely ridiculous to use that. Because how could the man be baptized? He never got the chance. But if he had got the chance to get down and lived, he would have got baptized. But he never got the chance. And none of us has that faith in the cross. Now, if somebody got saved and someone unfortunate happened and they never got the chance to get baptized because they didn't get the chance, yes, I believe they're still saved. But for us such believers, and we have the opportunity, we must follow the word. We're living in a time when we know that God sent a message and it says that we're to take the whole word. All of the word. So we want all of the word. We know that Jesus is that word made flesh. Amen. This is the first Pentecostal sermon, and it has these principles laid down by the Holy Spirit in the first Pentecostal sermon. Before the cross and crucifixion, John the Baptist, we know, was ordained of God. God ordained John the Baptist. Now I'm showing you this to let you see that every man that's ordained of God, John, before Christ then, when Christ came and everything, they all were commanded to baptize. Let's go to John 1, verse 19. And I want to take the time to read some of these scriptures. And you can mark these. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him who it are. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? He saith, I'm not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? Now pause for a moment, because you know when Jesus identified John, understand me now, when Jesus made known who John really was, he said, if you can receive it, he is Elijah that should come. John came in the spirit of Elijah. Now you know, Bible students, that's the third time. You have Elijah, how do you say this? Elisha, that's it, brother. You have Elijah and Elisha. The spirit of Elijah came in Elisha. Then you have John the Baptist, and Jesus identifies that same spirit coming on him. Then he says in Matthew 17:11, Elias shall first come to restore all things. That's a future coming of the spirit of Elijah, which we believe was on William Morey and Branham in the 20th century. We believe that. And his ministry proved it. Then it's coming again, the fifth time. Elijah himself coming to the Jews, Elijah and Moses coming down, the two messengers, the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. So the spirit of Elijah is five times in the Bible. Now everybody mightn't agree with that, but that's what we believe. Because it's in the Bible. That's why we believe it. And God's proven it. And people might say, I don't believe it. That's fair enough. It's up to the individual. But we believe it. Verse 25, and they asked him, said unto him, why baptize thou if thou be not Christ nor Elias, neither the prophet? And John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you who you know not. You don't know him, but he's among you. It's not just like the day. They don't know him, but he's among them. He it is who's coming after me is prepared before me. His shoe latched, I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, would take away the sin of the world. That's where I got my text, when I preached the sermon, to take away of sin. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man who is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me, which was God, to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that that is the Son of God. Now I could go on, and you could go on, and we could read more. Well, go to Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized to him. Now when somebody says, I don't need to get baptized, Jesus needed to get baptized. You say, why? Well, here we're going to read why. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized to thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God continues some things here. Understand me. Jesus was baptized and he was the Son of God, sinless, but he was baptized to fulfill Scripture. And if God, through the Bible, through the apostles and the Lord Jesus, fulfill all righteousness, if he's baptized, surely we need to be baptized. And isn't it amazing, when he come up out of the water, the Spirit come down over him and led him. And then in Acts 2:38 it says you'll receive the Holy Ghost after you're baptized properly. That's where it all started, with the Lord Jesus. This never started actually with Peter. This started with the Lord Jesus. But the Holy Spirit that led Jesus, that was on Jesus in fullness, came on Peter on the day of Pentecost. The same Holy Ghost, listen to me, so Peter could not preach a different message or bring a different message that was already first brought, because the Holy Spirit will not change what he has said, because it is the truth when it's originally spoken. Therefore, it remains the truth. Therefore, you can continue to say it, and its power will continue to be the same. It is here a little, there a little, so is the word of the Lord. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall not pass away. Not one jot or tittle till all be fulfilled. After the resurrection and ascension, Christ's baptism was ordained of God. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Let's read in verse 36. Now I'm going to explain Matthew 28 in a moment, because there's no mistakes. Acts 2:36-38. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Who did he make him? Both Lord and Christ. Whose name did he come in? Our brother John preached it a couple of weeks ago. Whose name did Jesus come in? His Father's name. If he came in his Father's name, we can't change it to some title or something else. That is the Father's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. You says, I don't know about that. Well, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and suffice us. And Jesus turned around and said, Philip, have I been with you so long and do you not know me? He that have seen me have seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? So his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I've dropped it in early, but that's all right anyhow. I'll explain it more in a moment. Made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now they that, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And Peter said unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. We saw that on Thursday night. I took that part. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, do you honestly think Peter made a mistake and he did not do Matthew 28? Matthew 28 says, in the name of the Father. If the Father's name is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's fulfilling it. He's not making a mistake. Now, over 90% of all the churches and denominations baptize the wrong way. They do it wrong. And they actually go as far to say Peter made a mistake. But I can prove you, and I've now got Irenaeus' writings as well, and a pastor that most of you would know, not far from here, he gave me the book. So I could go back myself, but I have a prophet of God told us, but we can even search it ourselves. What he told us is true. That the early disciples nowhere baptized in titles, but the name. Now the title is given, but it says do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, not the title. The title is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that is not the name, that is the title. What is his name? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like if I sign a check for you, let's say one of my sons was here this morning. Let's say me and Daniel were millionaires. Praise God, may God grant it. Well, anyhow, let's say with the checkbook this morning, I'm going to write Brother Alan a check there for $10,000. Not a great brother. May the Lord grant it. And I'm writing Alan a check for the $10,000 anyhow. And I wouldn't sign in the checkbook, father and son. If me and Daniel has a joint account, I would put Thomas McKinstry and Daniel McKinstry. I would have to sign in there the names. If I put titles, the bank would never cash it. It would be refused. They would write on it, and they'd refuse it. And so is it with water baptism, it must be in the name. And if you don't do it in the name, all you've done is got somebody wet. And they need to re-baptize them. Now I know some places won't like to hear that, but that'll not matter. It's the truth anyhow. There's only one way to do it. Let's do it right. Amen? Then Peter said, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because his is the only name that you can believe on. That when you believe in his name, your sins will be washed away. Because it's his blood as a power to do it. You believe in his name. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now this gift of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean one of the nine spiritual gifts. Let me stress this morning. This does not mean everyone will speak in tongues. Everyone will prophesy. That's not what this is saying. This gift of the Holy Spirit here is eternal life. It's not one of the nine gifts. This is the gift of eternal life. That's what the Bible's talking about. So some groups believe you have to come out of the water talking in tongues, or you're not saved, or you haven't got the Holy Spirit. That's not the scripture, I'm sorry. You might do. You might come out talking in tongues. Praise God, you do. That's all right. We're all for that. But that's not what it says. And that's not the evidence. This is a gift of eternal life. Water baptism was commanded to be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And this name was revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God coming down. God condescending. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. God was not a person as such, but he became us that we might become him. Amen. Born of the Virgin. Little Jehovah laying in the manger. Now, I don't want to go off into all the Godhead. We know it. We know it's true. Now, follow me this morning, and I won't go to all these places. They're maybe not marked in this Bible, but my older Bibles, every one of them was marked. But there are about seven records of water baptism in the book of Acts. Right? Seven. And there's a further seven records in the epistles to water baptism. And there's not one single occasion, that's 14. There's not one single occasion where they say, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, is somebody going to tell me that there's such a mistake through the book of Acts, not just the book of Acts, but through all them epistles? There's no mistake. Every single time they did it, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. That's how they done it. They made no mistake. They did what Jesus told them to do. But the person that says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's not doing what Jesus told him to do. He's following a denominational system. He's following theology teaching. That's not scriptural teaching. And the early church never did it like that. Now, one of the best books you'll ever get your hand on, and you will not find it in Faith Mission or any other mission, it is a Seven Church Age book by William Branham. I know a lot of people say it should never have been done, handed out in all these different stories. I don't believe that myself. I do not believe that. I believe that book's full of truth. You go to page 22, and I'm going to read you a bit of it now here in a moment. When you go in that book in page 22 to 23, you will read what he says. And if you don't believe that, you can go back yourself to Irenaeus and the Nicene Fathers and search it yourself, and you'll read what he says. So he's speaking the truth. And he tells us where the water baptism started to be corrupted. And where it started to be corrupted was Nicene Council in 325. Only 325 years after Pentecost, the enemy got in. And there was big arguments and divisions amongst them. And they went so many different ways. Did so many. Look at it today, brothers and sisters. How long is it from the end time message came? You could call it from 1909 if you wanted, but it's not that really that long. Or from God Took His Prophet Home, 1965. That's not even 100 years. And look, the splits. Now you think of the splits there was after Pentecost. It didn't take long till the devil got in. And he split them every road. And you had your oneness and your threeness and all the rest of it. You know that's the truth. And some had both are truth, but both are error. Amen. Now let me read you this morning. This is from page 22 to 23. If you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, God will fill you with the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? If you get baptized right, God will fill you. A matter of fact, God is actually under an obligation to fill you. You say, preacher, you can't talk like that. Can and I'm going to. It's not my word, it's God's word. If I give you my word that I'm going to do such a thing, and if I'm a man of respect and honor, I'll try to do it. My Bible says that God's not a man that he should lie. And God says if you get baptized properly, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say you have to wait for it, dance for it, jump for it, or none of them things. He'll give you it. And just like you get saved, you didn't get saved because you did any special things. You get saved by faith alone in Christ alone. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost in the same faith. Because he says it. Amen. And you don't have to tarry for the baptism. Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And God can give you it without tarrying. But if you tarry, it'll do you good if you do tarry. I try to tarry sometimes even still. It's good to tarry. Waiting on the Lord. How many believes that? It's good to do it. May the Lord even help us to do it more. That's the truth. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit said exactly, Peter said by the Holy Ghost, and what was said cannot be changed. Now I knew a minister, the word of color, and you know him, and I'll mention no names. He told me Peter made a mistake. Now listen to me this morning. I know you know me. You might not take serious some of the things I say, but what God's told me is true. That man said to me, Peter made a mistake. I says, you're wrong. You made a mistake. He says, I wouldn't want that to get between us and separate us. Because I cannot do open air preaching with you while you believe that. I says, well, I'm not changing. Now I'll tell you even better than that. That same man set me up. He invited me for a meal to his house. And he set me up and he had a minister and his wife to call at that house. And they had three questions for me. Now God can take me this morning, if this is not absolutely the truth. God showed me that man's house inside it before I was ever in the door. I seen every single detail in his living room, everything. The piano, his daughter playing it, she had long hair right down to the floor, never seen a girl with longer hair. There was a hole through the wall for his wife to set the food out. After we had the dinner and everything, the bell rang, the door knocked. There was a man and woman, a young training minister at the door. Wasn't long that he was in to hear his three questions. But the same one that showed me it, the voice spoke to me, just like in the jail, told me what to tell him for them three questions. Now, brothers and sisters, somebody can stand on whatever they want, do whatever they want, but God, when God spoke to me in the jail, He changed my life. None of them did. He transformed me. All the fellas, a lot of them that I chum with, are no longer here. They're dead. But I'm still living. He told me I would eat the good of the man if I was obedient to the call. He told me how to answer them men. And I'll tell you what, they have no answer for it. They actually denied the scripture. But we believe the scripture. And I'll tell you what, he hits a shock on his face. Because I knew what they were going to say before they said it. One of them was in the Godhead, one of them was water baptism, one of them was women preaching. Now you know, listen brothers and sisters, God never ordained a woman to be a minister. That is not right. There's nowhere in the Bible. A woman can operate a gift, a woman can talk to other women, we believe all that. She can pray, she can take part, we know that, we believe that. But she cannot be a minister, I'm sorry. It's not scriptural. But people go ahead and do it. And it surprises me how they'll flock to it. And you see in America, you have women in pulpits and they're married 3 or 4 times. And they're up preaching. And I won't even say what I'm thinking, I'll be honest with you. May the Lord help me. But I'm telling you what, it's wrong. And people flock to it. And they give thousands to it. And yet with all you have the real genuine thing, they don't even want it. William Branham, oh, we would love William Branham. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. When he was here, they didn't want it. Look the gift that man had. He said, they won't even cross the streets of Phoenix to see this. They won't even cross the streets of Phoenix to see it. People don't want the truth. They want a gimmick. I'm convinced people want gimmicks. You notice, you put a gimmick up somewhere in a field, you do something that's a gimmick, they'll flock to it. But if you've got the real thing, they don't want it. You could darken a room out somewhere and have the disco lights going, have a load of rubbish going. And a few, you know what type of girls at the front? And I, look, God bless all the genuine women. The Lord bless every one of you. You know, it's a real powerful thing for a woman to live right these days in the world we're in. That's the truth. It's harder more than ever because of the way the thing is. May the Lord help us. Paul made no mistakes. And what was said cannot be changed. It has to be in the same. Pentecost until the very last elect has been baptized. Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that we preach, let him be accursed. Now let me tell you, that goes as well for those that claim to be following the end time message. If they change it, they're as guilty as well. You know, there's a group over somewhere and they're believing on William Branham. They're preaching you cannot get saved unless you go through your pastor, and you can't go to hell unless you go through your pastor. Now, if any of you have ever seen that on Facebook or anywhere, I can tell you right now that's false. There is only one person you need to go through to be saved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way and no other name. You'll not need your pastor to get saved. And if you're going to hell, your pastor will not be able to stop you. Only the Lord can do that when you believe on Him. But this is the type of rubbish that's about the day. And we have people that don't want the fivefold ministry either. And we have all sorts of nonsense. But we want to get back to the Bible. The real Bible. The real apostolic message. Now some of you oneness people, here we are. We're not going to miss them. They're wrong as well. Let's be honest about it. Some people's all oneness. They use Jesus' name only. And some of you oneness people are wrong. You're baptized for regeneration as though by being immersed in water saved you. Regeneration does not come by water. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. The man who by the Holy Ghost gave the command to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, did not say water regenerated. He said it was only an evidence of a good conscience toward God. That was 1 Peter 3:21.
Now, I could read you on here and on, but I don't want to do that. I want you that have time and believe these things to read page 22 and 23 of the Church Age book. The next procession to seven church ages. If you haven't got the book, we've plenty of them. Plenty of them. And they're free. It won't cost you a penny. And there's books. And I've got plenty of books. But you'll pay dear for most books. But this book will cost you nothing. Now, the commandment. No doctrine of Scripture can be built on one verse. Now, I'm saying that. I'm not reading that. I'm saying that. No doctrine of Scripture can be built on one verse. Every Scripture pertaining to this subject should be placed together so that the whole truth can be viewed in the light of all verses, not just one verse. Matthew 28:19 is true, so is Acts 2:38. Both are correct. Both belong to each other. The one is the interpretation by the Holy Spirit of the other. There is no record in Acts or the epistles of the disciples merely quoting the command of Matthew 28:19. There's nowhere where they merely quote it as the command, but they use the name. No one fulfills a command by just quoting it. You do not fill a command. You don't get saved because it says how you can get saved. You have to experience it. Amen? The disciples did not just quote the command, they obeyed it. The command of Jesus is to baptize in the name, not the names. It doesn't say names, it says name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Quote the command of Jesus, Matthew 28:19, evoking the name, the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts. Declaring the spiritual truth, the water baptism is set forth. And we're going to read it here, set forth in Romans. This is the spiritual truth of water baptism. Romans 6:3-4. Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So we are going into the water, that's like the death. And when we come out of the water, newness of life, resurrection. This is the Bible truth why you get baptized. You cannot get baptized with somebody sprinkling you and doing a cross on you. None of them things are scriptural. They're man-made and they're not from the Lord. Now some smart theologians somewhere obviously brought them about, but they're wrong. And there's no scripture either for to baptize an infant child. There's circumcision, which the Jews did, which God shows to Peter. Don't just pick them ones out, them Jews, because everyone I've cleansed is not common or unclean, they're pure. God showed Peter. Now some people might need circumcision, some people might not, but it won't save you. There's nothing wrong with it. Understand what I'm saying. You don't take a child if it doesn't need it and do it. But at the same time, you cannot misuse that scripture for child baptism. There's nowhere, but there's dedication. There is dedication of a child where the parents bring the child and get it prayed for, that they're handing it back to God. They're dedicating it to the Lord. Now listen, if somebody's had an infant baptized, don't worry about it. It'll not do them any harm either, because if God's going to save them somewhere along the road, he'll do it. And that won't stop it. Let me say that as well. Just in case somebody thinks I've made a terrible mistake and I've got a wee child baptized, what am I going to do? You'll do nothing about it. Don't worry about it. Get them dedicated. Claim them for the Lord and they'll get saved one day and get baptized properly. Amen. Acts 2:38. We know the scriptures. Look at Acts 8, verse 12 to 16. When they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued to Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he's fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when you do your study, you will find the Lord Jesus. You will find Jesus Christ. It's all in the name. But there's nowhere you will find him quoting the commandment. They are fulfilling the commandment. They are actively doing it. They're on duty. Hallelujah. In Romans 6 and verse 4, and I've read it, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. Galatians 2:27. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You invoke the name. You're putting on Christ for faith. You're saying to the world, you're a believer. Now turn with me to Acts 19, verse 1-8. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So you know John's, before Jesus, John's message was true, to repent. But there's a further message following. Now these fellows have followed John's message. Now they're getting the further instructions. Amen. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance unto the people, that they should believe in him which had come after him, that's in Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues. So here's an instance where they did speak with tongues after getting baptized. So you can't say it won't happen, and you can't say well in other places it maybe didn't happen. It's all down to God. Amen. Now I know a lot of people they take tongues, and I believe in tongues, and I talk with tongues a lot. And I don't need anything to move me to talk in tongues. I can talk in tongues right now. If I want to talk in tongues, God's given me it. It's a gift. But it's not the evidence. I don't believe it. That is the evidence. But I believe it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the nine gifts. What if you had tongues? What if you had prophecy? And then you came to the bit for Paul said you could have all that in you, but you haven't got love. What good is it? Love's a main thing, isn't it? Amen? Now here's the thing. The Holy Spirit will not deny himself. And if you really receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive the truth. But yet a lot of people say they spoke in tongues, but they won't receive the truth. Why is that? Let's be honest about it. They won't receive the truth. Even in water baptism, they will not take the truth. Yet they might talk in tongues. I'm not saying their tongues is wrong or anything like that, but I'm just telling you, why will they not take the truth? If you have the Holy Spirit, you'll take the truth. But many of them don't want it, because they're following what they've been taught from some theologian somewhere. And let me tell you this as well. Don't put somebody out because they believe the Trinity, or because they maybe believe other things we don't believe. Don't ever put them out. Let's remember, Smith Wigglesworth was a Trinity man. There was other Trinity men. And I'll tell you what, many couldn't lace their shoes. That's the truth of it. So don't throw them out. But just thank God, what you know the truth. Amen. But once you know the truth, you're under an onus, if you like, to obey that truth. That's the thing about it. They maybe never heard it at that time, the way it's been heard. You know that God did send a messenger specially to bring them things back, that they'd be restored back, them truths. We know that. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, Revelation 10, 7. All the mysteries will be finished. We believe that. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They speak with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now here's my last scripture, and then I'm going to come to close. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 to 11. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, and there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cleophas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? I could put in here, was William Branham crucified for you? To those that claim it, that he saves them. Paul the Apostle is putting this straight. We are quoting scripture, because that is false. That is a doctrine from hell. If that man came back, he would rebuke God himself. He wouldn't have it for a minute. But it's sad the way it's going. That's the devil. That's to take the confidence away from those of us that want to read the things and listen to them. That's what that's for. So they don't want nothing to do with any of it. The baby's thrown out with the bathwater. That's what the devil wants. But you hold to that which is good and true. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I am a Paul, I am Apollos, I am a Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus, and I can't say that name, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And there's people do it. There's people actually do it today. They baptize in the name of other men. Well, I'll tell you what, they're not baptized. I'm going to go even further than that this morning. They put a curse on the person. Now you've heard it. You dip them in some other man's name, you're putting them under a curse. Where's the scripture for it? Even if an angel from heaven come and preach anything different, let him be accursed. There it is. There's only one name. One name. One name to be saved in, one name to be baptized in, one name to be filled with the Holy Spirit in, one name that's above every name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Until my dying breath, may God help me to invoke the name, to preach the name, to bless the name, for it's a name above every other name. I'm under no commission to preach any other name. I'm under no obligation to preach any other name. But Paul says that you preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. Let's stand our feet this morning. God bless you. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise God. Now look, we know these things. I believe you know it. If you have a friend and they don't believe it, don't argue about it. Brothers, don't argue about it. This is not to start an argument or a row or schism in the body. Somebody can't say it, that's fine. There's other things you can agree on. If you have a friend that believes in the Lord, that's good. You and me can't make them say it. It is a revelation from God. If the Lord doesn't show, just like getting saved, you could not get saved if the Holy Spirit brought you to that. He moved on you. He brought you to the saving knowledge of the truth. Thank God for it. Let's bow our heads. And if you want prayer again this morning, just lift your hand up before the Lord. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is the truth. Lord, I pray you'll bless and strengthen your people. Lord, we're not trying to think we're know-alls, but we believe your Bible. Help us to believe the word of God, and help us, Lord, to appreciate the message you have sent. The word of God you have sent. Most of all, the Lord Jesus Christ sent. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you. Bless every hand that's raised. Meet every need. Lord, for any that's not sure on this subject, may the Holy Spirit open their understanding to these truths. May they see it For those maybe wanting to get baptized here or somewhere else, listening, bless them, Lord, and guide them, I pray. And fill them with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want the tongues. We want the prophesying. We want these gifts. We thank you for them. Help us to covet earnestly the best gifts. Bless each one now and give our brother Gary traveling mercies and the family as they go this evening. Help our brother as he opens your word tonight. Bless him. Strengthen him. Use him with prayer. Give everyone a good time on their holidays, those that's traveling away, and keep them safe on these roads. Lord, the roads are so dangerous. Oh, Lord, we need your protection. Cover us with your blood on these roads. Keep your angel near each one of us. Father, that's such a danger. Help us, we pray, as we acknowledge you, commit our ways to you, pray and direct our paths. Bless Brother John and Mark, Lord, for the next Sunday if thou wouldst tarry, and help me, Lord, over in England. And just have your way, we pray, and that you'll get all the praise and all the glory. Bless all the children here as well this morning. All the little boys and girls, bless them. The elders, bless them, strengthen them. Lord, for all of our children this morning, it's not saved. Save every one of them. Move on them, I pray, wherever they are, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, you know all of our hearts. You know those that's on our minds this morning. Save them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing it. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth.
Oh, how I love thee, God.